Good morning. God is good. Some good stuff is going on in the kingdom of God. Amen. Are you living there? Amen. How many in the kingdom? Well, let me just remind you that if you're a Christian, God has translated you into the kingdom of his dear son. That's where we live as Christians. Now, if you want to do some stuff outside of the kingdom, you can, you know, because the Bible says we're in the world, but it also says that we're not of the world because we are of the kingdom of God. That's where we should endeavor to be and to remain. Always, amen? Always in the kingdom. So, you know, we've been blessing you and blessing the Lord, and you've been blessing us, and we've been teaching on spiritual maturity. Growing up in God, getting to the place where we are champions, overcomers, more than conquerors. This is what the Bible terms us as. We want to live like that because Jesus said that we could, because the Word of God says we could. Those are promises made unto us, those who call upon his name. There is no circumstance, no trial, no strategy of the devil, nothing that he can bring forth on us, nothing in the world that can conquer Jesus. Nothing. Whatever you're going through right now that is not of him, he has conquered it already for you. You already have the victory. That should give you some shouting right there. You already have the victory. It already belongs to you. We say, well, I don't feel it. I still got that pain in my leg. Well, declare unto him that you're in the kingdom and the pain is gone. Now, how long it takes for it to do that, it's up to you and your faith, amen? But he says he is the deliverer of all, the conqueror of all, Jesus is. Nothing in that. So we've been talking about spiritual maturity because it gets you to a place where you start to believe what the Word of God says and not what anybody else says. Spiritual maturity. A grown-up person, spiritually, will never let down his God, will never let the enemy's strategies overtake him or overcome him. He may have to deal with some adversity and calamity because he's in the world, but he will always have victory. Always. The Bible declares it. Jesus said it. God said it would be so. So if you don't have the victory, you need to go to him and blame him, blame God. If you're brave enough to do so. But we want to grow up. There are things God calls us to do. There are things that he says belongs to us. We want those things. We want to live in the place where he's designed for us. Right? We want to become the people that he said that we can become. We already given up our life. He saved us. We repented of our sins, and now he's come to live inside of us, and we want to glorify and praise him and be like he said we could be, his sons and daughters in the earth. So we've been teaching on spiritual maturity. And I told you guys that I've been writing this series ever since he has given it to me. It's called Growing in Grace. There are five steps to growing that the Bible talks about. Newborn babes, we can see that clearly in the epistles that we become newborn babes when we are born again, when we're first saved. We move from newborn babes to becoming a child of God. And I mean a childlike behavior person. Now, we're all children of God. We know that, right? Your mother and father who may have passed on, you're still their child. So when God births us into his kingdom, we become his children, no matter how old we are. But there is a behavior pattern associated with a child of God that the Bible speaks of. Next stage after a child of God is a young man or woman stage, young adult stage. And you say, well, there are certain things, there are certain characteristics that the Bible tells us about that goes along with those spiritual growths in us. We can look in the Word and determine them. You say, well, why do we want to? Because we want to become people like he designed us to be. That's what our desire is. That's what my desire is. I want to be more like him. I want to use the word of God like he said I could use it. I want to become what the word of God says I can become and do those things that the word of God says I can do. That's what I want. But I realized as I was reading, Paul talks about growing up. He talks about growing in grace. Fourth stage is mature stage, an adult Christian. Right? A father or a mother, they call them, and these are titles. But you go from a young man or a young adult to a mature man or adult. Fourth stage, I see it clearly in the Word of God. I'm going to give it to you because you're all spiritual here and you can take this. Fifth stage of spiritual maturity is becoming a son, a daughter of God. These people, the Bible tells us that the herb groans and yearns for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you're like, well, we're already sons. Well, I'm talking about in the spiritual growth. The person who stands up in the kingdom of God, his citizenship, he knows is in heaven. He knows that nothing around him can defeat him. He has all of heaven at his access. All the power. All the understanding, and especially the Spirit. The sons of God. I've got a whole thing. I want to work up to that because I know some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. Get on out of here, you fanatical person. Talking about. I'm talking about the things that God has revealed to me in this series. We started our 21-day of fast, and you know, everybody has their way of doing that. And on Monday when I came up here to church to pray, the Holy Spirit caught me at the door before I even got in to start praying and started talking to me. And I said, hold up, I haven't prayed yet. I need to pray. What a stupid thing to say to the Holy Spirit, right? I said, hold up, God, I want to pray because that's what I came to do. I came to pray. He was like, you better listen. And so I got my book open and I started writing some things down about what he's saying. But I'm saying that to say, you know, we talked about, or he gave us an exhortation last Sunday about him meeting us at the point of where we pray. Praying is important. He talks about it even when we're newborn babes, even when we're a child of God or in a childlike stage behavior or a young adult, whatever stage you are at, prayer is important. You need to pray. I'm pointing my finger at you. But I got three pointing back at me. We need to pray. Can't get away from praying. You can't get away from growing in God without praying. We need to pray. So let me give you, before I do that, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your love that is always delivered unto us in great blessings and joy. We give you glory, Father, for this morning and all that you've done already. We thank you that you've already prepared and set our hearts to hear this wonderful word this morning, Lord God. Help us connect to you, you to us. Reveal to us your plan and purpose for our lives, Lord. Let us be drawn closer to you this morning, Father God, as we endeavor, Lord God, to be more like you. As we have called ourselves, Lord God, Christians, Christ-like, anointed ones, Father God. We thank you and we praise you for it and we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, use me and all my faculties, all that I have to deliver this word to your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm excited. I get excited about the things of God. I just get excited because God is doing some stuff. And sometimes we don't know it, but he is. Some of us sometimes are going through some adversity and some calamity or some other thing. And the word he gave me on Monday, I'll go back to there, was that if you want a miracle from God, it's because you are facing a calamity or an adversity or something's going on in your life where you need him to show up. Amen. You know, I know we talk about signs and wonders and miracles and so forth. So think about that for a moment. If you want to see God do a miracle. That means that we got to get involved in somebody else's adversity or calamity. Right? Either through prayer, laying on of hands, you know, or just declaring and proclaiming that there are some things I have laid down and he has put in my heart concerning these 21 days about other people's adversity. And I'm putting myself in his hands to be in a place where he can use me in that place and bring forth a miracle. You say, oh my God, you a miracle? Oh. Well, who are we? Who do we belong to? A miracle to him is nothing. I mean, it's nothing. Absolutely a thing that he can do at the snap of a finger. And he can do anything at that snap. Don't take him 21 days. When he's ready to do it, it's done. And I'm telling you, I want to get involved with someone like that. So anyway, we want to grow up, and we have this series that we're teaching about these characteristics of each stage so that we will know when we move to the next one or how to even just pray to get to the next one, to get out of the first one, leaving those things behind and going into what God wants for us at this particular juncture in our life. And in some of this, I'm going to say this, some of this may feel like, well, some of it's going to convict you because you're going to go, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm a child of God, but I don't see that in my life. And so you may say that to yourself, and you may say, oh, that's condemnation. And I want you to know that that's not condemnation. That may be conviction, but it's not condemnation. I'm not here to condemn you. I can't. There's no way I can. Jesus said, I didn't even come to condemn you. And as his representative, I don't condemn anybody. But there are things that in the Word of God that we know that we're not doing. There are things that there in there that we know we don't have right now. But we are striving. That's the thing. Seek ye first. Pastor talked about this last week. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And he'll begin to add to you what you need. But you got to seek, right? That involves prayer. Studying your word. We've got to be active in these things for him to bring them to us. So we've been teaching about these stages. The first one was the newborn babe stage. And the newborn babe, we said, according to Paul, is a carnal Christian, a Christian who hasn't yet understood how to get rid of his passions and all of the stuff that's going on with him, to move away from the things that are pulling him into the world and to say, okay, I need to leave that habit, that bad habit. I need to leave that sin over there. I need to grab a hold of Jesus. And I gave you some examples of some of the things that newborn babes in Christ kind of deal with. But there's some negatives and there's some positives. There's some positive things that newborn babes have. One of the things that's kind of unbelievable is the fact that he gives you as a newborn babe a gift, a spiritual gift. According to 1 Corinthians, I think it's the third chapter, he talks about the carnal Christians at Corinth came behind in no gift. They came behind, in other words, they had the gifts of the Spirit operating in their lives as carnal Christians. So we, as Christians, as we grow, we need to know what gifts God has given us and begin to operate in those. You want to turn Blacksburg, you want to turn your household, you want to turn the town, the city, the county upside down, begin to operate where God has gifted you. Don't let it slide. Pray and ask him. You mean he'll tell you if you ask? No, he won't. He won't tell me. Why won't he tell you? He said he gave it to you. So in some instances, we're still babes in Christ because some of us haven't gotten a hold of the fact that we have this gift or have a gift or have gifts that God desires for us to move in. Anyway, so from the newborn stage, we move into, and we've taught on that. You can get the tape or the CD or whatever we have for you. But the next stage was one we're in right now is the childlike behavior, the child of God. How's a child of God behave? And the first thing God dealt with me about is children of God is that we understand that we are in the kingdom of God. Children of God understand that they're in the kingdom. There are fruits of the kingdom. There are ways that we are to learn in the kingdom. There are things he's provided for us in the kingdom. Bible tell, we taught on the kingdom of God. That's a service in the past. So you can get that tape and read up on how we are part as children. The kingdom of God, Jesus says it, belongs to the children of God. It is the place where we operate in. It's where all of the things that he's given us exist. If you are trying to get some place or get something from God and you are still operating in the world, okay, you are in two different environments. You got to get in the kingdom. The kingdom people think differently. The kingdom people act differently. There are certain things they do and say in the kingdom. Faith is alive in the kingdom of God. But you and I need to move ourselves according to the word into the kingdom. Jesus declared it. He said he preached it when he was here. Through the Gospels, he said he came to preach what? That the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the same thing, is at hand. It's evident. It's manifest. God's kingdom. Whatever you get, when you are getting answers to prayer, guess what's happening? You're in the kingdom. When you're getting provision for your life, for your children's lives, when you're getting, when joy is overtaking, when praise and worship is overtaking you, or you're in praise and worship, you're in the kingdom. Those things happen in the kingdom. When a witness of the Spirit comes on you, you're telling a fellow colleague or a person about Jesus, guess where you are? You're in the kingdom. We are not far from the kingdom. Jesus declares that I have given you, you and I, the keys to the kingdom. The keys to this spiritual place that we reside and live. It's a good place. The word of God reigns in the kingdom. Remember the parable of the sower, when the sower sows the word. All of the talks about the different environments of our heart. That's talking about the kingdom. The word operates in the kingdom. So anyway, we talked about the kingdom of God. That was a whole sermon. The child stage is a lot about the word of God, because I think a lot of people go quickly from newborns into child or the children stage, and they stay there. They don't seem to want to go any further. And there is a stark difference between a childlike behavior and the young adult behavior according to the word of God. But we're not there yet. We're just talking about the child of God, because there's a lot of things that Jesus declares and Paul writes about children and how faith operates. So we got into last time I was here, we got into the next step after the kingdom of God. The next step was walking in the Spirit. Woo-hoo. Children of God walk in the Spirit. And now a lot of you are going, man, what is he talking about now? What are you talking about walking this? Well, if you're born again, remember, we've been what? Recreated. New beings. We've been got a whole new nature from God. It's a spiritual nature that God gives us. When we're born again, he moves us into that place where we become connected with the Spirit of God. Our old man, he says, the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does he mean by all things have become new? He means that you've entered into the kingdom. It's a different perspective, if you want to put it that way. And we all need to start thinking like that. There are certain things that we do every day. I'm going to just call them this. They're dead works. They don't help the kingdom. They don't help people. They may satisfy, gratify yourself. But they don't do nothing for the kingdom of God, and they're going to burn up just like wood, hay, and stubble when we're called to go back to heaven with God. So our determined purpose should be, I want to do things that are purposeful for me in the kingdom today. When I wake up in the morning and I begin my daily routine, I want to be in the kingdom. I don't want to say dead words. I don't want to say things that are not going to edify and build up. That's what that means. I don't want to allow the enemy to come in and move me over to a place where I'm just floundering because I can't do something or I can't get with something or whatever the case may be. I want to do things that are purposeful for the kingdom. You know, and it's a good place, and it's a good thing to say that and to say it often and to remind yourself when you're about to blurt out something that you know is not right. You're about to let your true feeling, that some people say, your passion come out. Say, oh, don't let me hold that back. Why say it? It does nothing for you. But children walk in the Spirit. And so when I got into children, I said, we're going to do two things. We were going to talk about the works or the walking in the flesh, walking in the incarnation, and then we're going to talk about walking in the Spirit, what the Bible talks about in that. So growing in grace, we want to, let me back up here. In 1 Peter 3:17-18, let me read this out of the Amplified. Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness of mind, knowledge, truth, and faith. Verse 18. But grow spiritually mature in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, honor, majesty, splendor, both now and to the day of eternity. So that's a declaration from Peter. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, you can call these foundational scriptures for our whole series. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16, and his gifts to the church were varied, and he himself appointed some as apostles, special messengers, representatives, some as prophets who speak a new message from God to the people, some as evangelists who spread the good news of salvation, and some as pastors and teachers to shepherd and guide and instruct. Verse 12, and he did this to fully equip and perfect the saints, God's people, for works of service to build up the body of Christ, the church. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible, so yours may not follow exactly. Verse 13, until we all reach oneness in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, growing spiritually to become a mature believer, reaching to the measure of the fullness of Christ, manifesting his spiritual completeness and exercising our spiritual gifts in unity. Verse 14, so that we are no longer children, spiritually immature, tossed back and forth like ships on a stormy sea, carried about by every wind of shifting doctrine, by the cunning and trickery of unscrupulous men, by the deceitful scheming of people ready to do anything for personal profit. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives, expressing his truth. Let us grow up in all things unto him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to grow and mature. So your growth is going to help others to mature, building itself up in unselfish love. That was Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, 1 Peter 3, 17 through 18. And it talks about why we should grow. So there's definite evidence from the Word of God that we should not stay in the same place where we are from year after year to after year to after year. You and I should be gaining something in the spirit realm. Understanding, knowledge, wisdom, gifts, process, ways in the spirit. And we should be hungering and thirsting for that. Why? Because Jesus gave his life for it. You say, oh no, he just gave his life for me to be saved. For you to have salvation, which this talks about. He died a horrible death to be raised again, that we could exercise or live in that resurrection power. That was his purpose. Are we going to lay aside our purpose now? And act like, oh, he didn't do that for me. Act like he wasn't powerful enough for me to move forward in him, for me to grow up, for me to gain wisdom from him, to act and behave like he had behaved. Are we just going to throw that away into the trash? Because in our selfish self, in our own motivation, in our own passion or thinking, we don't understand. Or we can't grasp all the spiritual things in which he demands, or he tells that we have. Are you going to come with your own understanding? When the Bible tells us that, you know, don't lean to your own understanding, Proverbs 3:5. Don't lean on your own understanding of his spiritual things. The Bible tells us that God is greater than your heart. If something comes to condemn you, he says God is greater than that condemnation. You say, well, how are you learning? I learned them from the Bible, and then I acted on them. When the devil comes and tries to tell me that I'm not good enough, I tell him he needs to go and look in the Bible. He just take a look, John. In John, take a look at any epistle and read it up. Read it up. Greater is he that's in you, in I, than he that's in the world. Tell him to shut up. Sit down over there in the corner and watch God work on me, doing what he declared he would do, doing what the Father in heaven, who has no comparison, who has no opposite, he is the only one. He declares it and it's so. He's the one that said it to you and me. That's where our salvation comes from. It's an immutable place, a place that cannot change. Ooh, it's powerful in its own making. So as mature Christians, we begin to move like this. We begin to not take the devil's quips any longer. Oh, I'm tired right now, so I don't think I can pray. I don't know about you, but I've been woken up in the middle of the night from a dead sleep. When the Spirit of God wants you to pray, you pray. I didn't say, well, let me just go back to sleep. Couldn't go back to sleep. Had to pray. You say, what does that do? It trains you. When it's time to pray, pray. We know that we live in a fleshly, weakly being. The flesh is weak. But it tells me that the Spirit is what? Strong and mighty. Let's depend on him and not on the other. So we talk about walking in the Spirit. So there are lots of fleshly carnal things. In Galatians 5, let me get over here. The pastor said he fixed this for me. So that I wouldn't be fiddling with it like we did last few times. Ugh. That there's so much about the kingdom, Lord have mercy, that we need to understand. And we need to understand them so we could grow. We need to understand them so we could share them with others. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding going on in the world. People don't want to come to church and saying stupid stuff. I don't want to go to church because a bunch of hypocrites over there. I don't care if they're filled with the devil over in the church. That's where I want to be, where God is. If he's God, it's God's church, I want to be there. Eventually, guess what's going to happen? All them devils are going to run on out of here. That's right. That's what's going to happen. The devil's afraid of you. He's afraid of the anointing that you have. He don't want to get anywhere close to it. Because it'll happen just like it happened with Jesus when the devil tried to run up on him. That guy said, oh, no, it's not my time yet. Go, don't do nothing to me. He was afraid. God had already cast him out into where? Into the abyss. Guyana. hell. He already cast them out. He knows his destruction. He knows his end. His judgment has already been done. So anyway, we're talking about the carnal nature and effects of the flesh. Oh, Julie. So last time, Julie came up to me and her Bible read a little different than my Bible when we were talking about certain things. And one of them is Ephesians 5:18. And she said, I want to know what debauchery is. You remember that, Julie? I want to know what debauchery, what is debauchery? That it sounds like really terrible. Well, it really is. Ephesians 5:18 says, and do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery. But ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Now, they're putting that at opposite. Drunk with wine and debauchery to the opposite of being filled with the Spirit. So don't be filled with what? The devil's aims, drunkenness, alcohol. Don't be filled with it. Now, it doesn't say you can't have some. But it said don't be filled with it. Because that is debauchery. Now, there's a lot of terms in the Bible that's parallel or synonymous with debauchery. Let me just read you just a few of them. Big words, dissipation. What? Dissipate? Dissoluteness, degeneracy. Degeneracy, here's one we know, corruption. We know vice, turpitude, depravity, rakishness. What? Libertinism. Ooh. Indecency, perversion, immodesty, wickedness, shamelessness, sinfulness, sinning, impropriety, lack of morals, lack of principles, immorality, impurity. This guy is bad. Unchastity, not virtuous, lasciviousness, salaciousness. Lechery. Lechery is excessive or offensive sexual desire. Lustfulness. Lecherousness. Lewdness. Lust. Bawdiness. Lustfulness. Libidinousness. Libidinousness. Promiscuity. Wantonness. Abandonment. It goes on and on. This debauchery is a bad dude. Don't get hung up in the body. It is a completely sinful person who has taken up on his sin, who loves his sin. Debauchery. That's what it means. Even though we got that definition from Ephesians about do not be drunk with wine. Because a person who gets drunk with wine does what? Loses all their principles and judgment to do right. That's why he doesn't want us to be like that. So we were talking about the fruits of the flesh. In our ways of walking in the Spirit, we need to understand that if we walk in these other things, we're not walking in the Spirit. If you're dealing in immorality and indecency and stuff of the flesh, then you're not walking in the Spirit. And God wants us to what? He wants us to walk in the Spirit. He has declared it so. So if you want this, I got a ton of them. I went to, you have a Bible Gateway. Bible Gateway has like what? I don't know, 50 Bibles on it or something like that. 50 or 60 Bibles on it. I looked up Ephesians 5:18 in all of those Bibles. And I looked up the word debauchery to get a sense of what they were talking about throughout the word. And I'm telling you, you don't want any parts of debauchery. and Julie said it better than I did. Debauchery. So that's also, it's just a sinful nature coming out. And we don't want anything to do with it. And it's disregard for the principles of God. It's a disregard for God's holiness. It's a disregard for his goodness and his mercy that he has aligned us with. Amen? Do you guys remember in Galatians 5, Galatians 5:19-21. It talks about the carnal nature. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it goes through a lot of ones I just already named. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revel. Why did Paul have to tell the Galatians and give them that list? Do you ever thought about that? We're in America today, and you know, things of God and transparent. We in a godly nation, and you know, we hope, but we see a lot of this stuff going on in our backyard. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, why do you think he needed to put it in there? Well, at the time, we know that the Galatians were pagan worshipers, right? So they were doing all kinds of stuff for their self-gratification. And so he said, I need to list these things so they would know when they are out of the Spirit, really. And so we need to be aware of these things too. Now, in my book, I give you lots of definitions for these terms and define them out in a slightly, a modern way, because sometimes we don't understand that sometimes we enter into some of these things and we look at these bad words and go, oh, emulations. I don't emulate. Or we look at variance and we go, oh, I don't do variance. And variance is just a slight deviant away or from the truth. It's a white lie. Oh! A variance, it's just a slight difference, you know, from what the truth is. It's just a little bit. It's dabbling over into what the enemy does. He deceives. He shows up as what, an angel of light to fool you to go a different way than what the word says. That's why we should be in the word, so that when he does show up, we can go, oh, that's not Jesus. Pastor talked about hearing the voice of the shepherd. Said the sheep won't hear the voice. Why? Because they know his voice and they won't listen to another. Why do they know his voice? Because they're in the word and praying. Because they love Jesus. They're not trying to escape. They're not trying to do things that are not purposeful according to the word of God. They've already been given everything. For you and I, and you can look at it this way, we've already won the lottery. We won. We own everything. What? You don't own everything. Where is it at? Let me see your bank account. According to the Spirit of God. If he owns it, I own it. I sit together with him in heavenly places. He is already sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's where you and I are. Already. So we just haven't determined that we want to start talking about it and declaring it to the devil and to the world. Because we know what's the next step. Once you start doing that, what comes? Persecution. And I read in Acts, Paul said that adversity and calamity will thrust you into the kingdom of God. I was like, oh my God. And understanding suffering and hardness and adversity, that comes to in the young adult stage. Young men and women understand what's going on when that's happening. And it's used, God uses everything, right? God does everything for the good of his people, right? So your adversity and calamity, he can use for somebody else's grand victory and miracle and salvation. He'll use the bad thing that happened to you for somebody else's good. That's our God. He can fix things. Oh, I love that about him. He can fix that stuff. Anyway, getting back to Galatians, the rest of 20, verse 21 says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. can't get it, doesn't belong to you. And yet, we see people all around us getting involved in all these types of things. Christians, even. We hear about it in churches where pastors are committing adultery and going out and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Sifted by the devil, tricked to lead the people astray. And God set it up so that we could know what's going on by being in the Word. I like this. I'm going to steal, I think it was Caleb, right, who had a testimony about going to a church. And he said, came home and he told everybody, they didn't have any Bibles in that church. He said, what are they doing? Something like that. I know I'm paraphrasing. We ought to be like that too. That don't leave your Bible alone, man. Especially been around Caleb. He'll come get you. What are we doing? Not having our Bibles open, or even understanding the Word of God that comes forth from the minister. We need to keep ourselves straight. And I'm not saying that to scare you or anything like that. I'm just saying that there are people out there who can use the Word of God so cunningly, it can almost sound right. And if you're not careful and you're not reading, you'll think it's not. You'll think it's all right. And you'll follow after them. And then you'll get down the road. I told a testimony on Wednesday about a guy in college that I was with who decided he was going to go with this ministry. And he was trying to convince us to go too. And I don't know if you guys have heard of this. You may have heard of this ministry. It's an old ministry. It was called Rejoice for Jesus. So he had the pastor there and the whole congregation of people. He had churches of people. But when we heard him talk, we did. Our brother, he convinced us, oh, let's go hear him, blah, 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 blah. We went to hear him, and I want you to know that the spirit of truth cut across my spirit and put a check. And then we call it a check in the spirit, right? We say, something's up. I don't know what it is, but something just set right with me right here. It just kind of, just kind of grabbed you. You know, we were like, man, I don't know. And so, of course, we dug into this guy's faith, principles, whatever, tenets of faith. And we were like, I don't know. he wouldn't believe us. He wouldn't trust us. He went with this ministry. He was in that church for maybe about 10 years before he then heard it. Took him 10 years of his life under that ministry before that minister said something that went across him, and he went, oh, I've been in the wrong place. 10 years. So we need to be aware. And he was a brother that was in the Word. He was with us. We were crazy on campus. We were lunatics, fanatics for God. I'm not going to tell you some of the stuff we did. So anyway, so we were talking about walking in the Spirit. So I wanted to get from that. I got about, 10 minutes? Got about 10 minutes. And we'll pick this up next time Pastor gives me an opportunity to speak. But we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, which puts you in walking in the Spirit. It's where we reside. It's what we gravitate to. It's what we have in opposite to doing some of the other things that's in the Word. The fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit, our fruit of our recreated nature that God has given us. So we have this Spirit. Now, I talked a little bit last time, too, about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I told you what I believe, that there are two experiences. One of when the Spirit comes to us in salvation, and then there's another experience what we have that we call the baptism in the Holy Spirit, where you get, you know, I talked to you about being in, because it talks about the Spirit being in you, and it also talks about the Spirit being on you or with you. So that means that there's something on the outside as well as something on the inside. Now, the Bible says that to me, and I can read it, and I understand what it's saying. Sometimes we don't. And if you haven't had that experience, then you probably don't either. There's something that comes with you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. I'm not saying that. He's not. But he's something that comes on you physically. Sometimes you can feel him on you. All right? And we're talking about walking in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit without having the Spirit of God on you. Yes, you can. You can walk in the Spirit with the Spirit of God on you. Yes, you can. Both ways, you can still walk in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit, but we are determined to have the help that he says he is, the comforter, the standby, the helper that comes to live on us or with us. He even talks about God being indwelling you and living with you, abiding with you in John. We hear about God actually doing that as well. So anyway, fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict. This is Romans 8:1. No punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. How many? Personal Lord and Savior. Personal Lord and Savior. So there's a difference for him just being the Savior than him being your Savior. There's a difference from him being the Savior, because the Bible tells us he's the Savior of the whole world. Unsaved and not saved. Unsaved and saved. He's their Savior, whether they believe it or not. But then we declare to him that we like and desire for him to be our Savior, so we repent of our sins and he comes to live in us, and so he becomes our personal Savior. For the law, and there's a different relationship when he's personal, right? Because when he becomes personal, he's with us all the time, day by day, in every situation. We can call on him. We can ask for help. We can get his wisdom moment by moment. We don't have to wait, you know, till we come to church, talk to the pastor or talk to the spiritual leader or whatever. We have him everywhere we go, right on the spot. I can drop to my knees and glorify God, and he appears in me. I can have his wisdom right there. How many of you have been driving on the highway and some person, I won't call a name for that kind of person, cuts you off? Now, some of us have some other words coming out of our mouth. Let's just be real. But some of us go, "Help me, Jesus." How many of you do that? Come on, where do you live? God is able to deter those things when you call on him at the very moment. And I'm telling you, he can do some miraculous things when you're on the road. Amen? He can also do some things with you and your children, some things that you thought was going to happen didn't happen. He can do some things on your job, some things you thought was going about, they were condemning you, or they didn't want to give you a promotion, or they were, you know, making you feel bad, or whatever the case may be, and he turned the thing around. Sure, it's got a ton of them. I don't know what it is about her. She's called to those offices where the people are just crazy. I'm serious. I'm never in this entire time that I've worked over 40 years of my life, and I've never been in an office where they come to you and they say, "You are too joyful. You need to stop laughing." Because, you know, if you're laughing, you ain't getting no work done. So you need to stop. Now, not only did they say that, they said, "You need to stop talking around the water fountain." Stop congregating around the water fountain. I was like, "What? What?" They said, "You can't send an email to that guy." I said, "But I need to work with him." "What do you mean I can't send an email to him?" People are just crazy. None of you had any of that said to you before? She worked in an office for 10 years, and that's what they told her. That's what they said. But you know, God is in control. She ignored them. Well, I shouldn't say she ignored them. She just didn't do it when God told her it was time to do something else. They came to her for prayer. They came to her for hugs. They came to her for testimony. "I need to go talk to Sherry because she's going to make me feel better." And they kept coming anyway. But now I'm telling you, they said stupid stuff. Isn't that stupid? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard anybody say. You can't laugh. You can't laugh at the joke. Enemy persecutes in different ways, doesn't it? And that's the way it is. And so now she's in another office, and guess what they're doing? They're doing even stupider stuff. I was like, how in the world? I said, you must be called to do that. That's your ministry. Woo! And I it's not my ministry, because when she tells me, I'm already up in rails. You know, I already got my shotgun out, and I'm going down there, and I'm going to kill them all. God, dumb. What is wrong with y'all? Wake up. Get my switch out, start spanking some people. That's the way I feel. I don't do that. I pray for her. I pray for her, and I bind the devil, because that's all it is. It's the enemy trying to get a hold of her anointing, her gift that's on the inside. And also, those people. He's trying to steal the anointing from them. He's trying to steal some of them, say some of them go back to church, even, because of her fellowship with them. She had a guy come up, and I'll give her testimony on this one, but it's not yet fulfilled. I'm going to tell you before it happens. How about that? She had a guy come up to her who heard about what she does, and he came up to her and told her to her face, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. And I was like, oh, my God. An encounter of God is coming. An encounter of God is coming. So I'm going to tell you that before it happens. So anyway, let me get back over here. So I got a few more minutes. So we're reading in Romans, the 8th chapter. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is Christ Jesus, the law of our new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that is, overcome sin and remove its penalty, its power, being weakened by the flesh, man's nature without the Holy Spirit, God did. He sent his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful man as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, subdued it, and overcame it in the person of his own son, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not live our lives in the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness. This is the ways of the flesh, guided by worldliness and our sinful nature. We don't live like that. And if you're living like that, then you need to stop, and you need to get over in the Spirit. Guided by worldliness and our sinful nature, but live our lives, this is how we live our lives, in the ways of the Spirit, guided by his power. For those who are living according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which gratify the body. But those who are living according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, his will, and his purpose. That's what we do. We live our lives according to the Spirit. We weigh our lives according to the Spirit. We try our best in every waking moment to be thinking about what we're to be doing in the Spirit. This is how we want our lives to go. I don't want to live according to the flesh. And when things of the flesh pop up, I want to push them down. I want to get away from them. I want to get back over where God is. And he is in the Spirit. God is where we all should be. It is our purpose to live in the Spirit, where God is, where he has said his kingdom is for. You know, the environment that he creates for us in the Spirit is this, that our lives may be do that. But it says that our ways. So we have control over whether we live in the Spirit or we live in the flesh, according to the dictates of the flesh. Fasting is a way for us to get a hold of our fleshly passions and say, okay, I'm going to lay something aside so that I can then have more attention to God. You know, and we don't really, here at TCCSC Tristone, we don't really care what you put aside, but that you put something aside so that you can be more attentive to this, to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. This is what fasting does. And we're in our 21-day fast, and not everybody can go 21 days without food or water, so we don't recommend that. But when I first, I'll tell you this story, when I first was fasting, after I got born again, I did go without food and water for 1 week. And my belief was that when you do fast like that, that the Spirit of God feeds you his manna from heaven. That was just my understanding, that that's what happened. Evidently, something else also happens when you go without food and water for a week. I'll tell you this, this is funny. I was hearing my heartbeat in my ears. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, man, something's wrong. So I went to the doctor. And I said, something's going on. The doctor said, well, what you been doing? I said, I've been fasting. he said, so you hadn't eaten it? I said, no, I haven't taken any food or water. He said, well, let me tell you something. You need to eat some food and drink some water. I was like, oh, really? I said, this is my thought. No joke. I said, oh, I can't do that. That would offend God because I'm fasting. I actually told that to him. He says, well, you're going to go meet him pretty soon. If you keep that up. He wasn't a Christian or anything like that. He was just the doctor, right? And I'm just telling him. And he would say, you're going to meet Jesus or don't you want to go meet him now? You better eat some food and drink some water. Some things newborn babes do, right? I was just new to the faith and nobody told me. So I don't do that now. I don't do that. I thought you would like that for that story. So anyway, we live, our purpose is to live in the Spirit. And so I want us to have that determination. I want us to have that the thoughts of, okay, I'm driving down the road, I'm in the Spirit. And if something happens, you know, if God is speaking to me, I can hear him if he says, I want to talk to you about something. You can talk to God in the car and drive at the same time. Yes, you can. Those are two things I know you can do. You can do a lot of things while doing, you know, while talking to God. Wash dishes, take a shower, brush your teeth, put your clothes on, talk to. You can go actually and be talking to somebody and God can still be talking to you. Because he wants to bring a witness, especially if that person's unsaved. Or even if they are saved, then he just wants you to fellowship with them. You can be hearing God at the same time. This is what I want us to get on this train. I want us to get on this purpose of being with God all the time. That's how you're going to grow. That's how he's going to start to give you his wisdom. And you're going to start perceiving things that you didn't perceive before. Because you're now understanding what? That I can hear God while I'm doing some other stuff. Or I can hear God even while I'm reading my word. Man, I'm telling you, he can overtake you in some things when he's giving you, when you're reading the word. It can just overwhelm you with the revelation that he gives or the understanding or the wisdom he brings when you're in the word of God and praying. We pray throughout our whole Christian life. Please pray. Give God 5 minutes, 10 minutes of your day and pray. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for saving your soul. Thank him for your family. Thank him for your church. Just give him thanks and praise and pray, God, help me. Help me to grow. Ask him, help me to grow. Help me to understand the things I don't understand about your word. My daughter, she's 30 years old, she's brought her up in the church and all that. She is just now getting to understand some of the things in the word of God. She's actually on the 21-day fast with us, even though she's not here. And she calls me and she says, Dad, Look what God said to me. I said, what? God said something to you? God talks to her, and she listens. And it's the most joyous thing to hear one of your children say something that God is doing for them. And it's just wonderful. I mean, she's anyway, but it happens. He will speak to you. You can speak to him. You can say, okay, God, I don't understand it. If you need something, God, I need your help. I need some money. I need you to heal my leg. I need you to heal my heart. I need you to, you know, fix my hair. I need you, I don't know. You need you to help me to feed the alpacas. You know, I need you to help me to build a house. You know, whatever it is, he can help you. Talk to God. Praying is so important for walking in the Spirit. You say, what's the aim? Think about this. Every Christian that says they are a Christian in, let's just say in Blacksburg, if they were all spiritual mature Christians, what would happen to this town? Everybody paying attention to what God is telling them to do and doing it. What would happen? That's why Paul was preaching to them in the epistles and trying to get Christ formed in them, because he knew once every one of us started paying attention to what the Spirit of God was saying, things would start to happen. All kinds of things. You're going to just go crazy about the things that kind of, you can even ask God, God, what kind of things are going to happen? He will let you know, because he's there to help you, right? My time is up, and I went over a little bit. I apologize for that, but it was good. I will pick up in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to go through each one the next time that we have ability to do that. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. There are other things about children also. That's just one of them. Walking in the Spirit, the kingdom of God is one of them, that the children's behavior exhibits. So I want to pray for you. If you have a desire to grow closer to God, I want you to just agree with me in this prayer. That God, I want to get closer, and I want to start hearing your voice more than I've heard it, you know, in the past. I want to leave here with you on my heart and mind, and I want to be determined. I'm going to put you in every place in my life. When I'm cooking on a meal, when I'm eating a meal, when I'm putting my clothes on, when I'm going here or there, when I'm shopping, I'm not shopping. I want you to show me a sale. Show me a sale, God. I want to be with you. I want to do what God is saying to do and go where he's saying to go, because in those places, believe me this, there's a witness waiting for you. There's also divine appointments that he set up for us. But we got to be listening. We got to be paying attention. And we got to want it. That's plain and simple. If you don't want it, he's not going to give it to you. When you decide you want it, he's going to give it to you. But you got to decide. You got to say, okay, God, I'm ready. Give me this. Sure, don't have any. She can't do it or not. She has to do it. Or they'll eat her alive. We'll eat her alive. If she says, oh, I'm not going to go to work with God today. I'll just leave him behind. No, she cannot. The devil will eat her alive. Eat her lunch. Because those vultures, boy, I tell you, they are lined up trying to shoot her down. But they can't, because she's listening to God. And you should have, maybe you should ask her to preach one time. And get some of her testimony. Anyway, I want to pray. I want to agree. You and I to agree. And if you said it in your heart, I'm not going to ask you to come up here and anything like that. I want you to, I know the Holy Spirit is listening. If you're saying that in your heart, I want to agree with you that those things will begin to happen, take place in you.